I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Have you ever stopped to think about all of the different ways that you can tell a story? You can paint on canvas, on a wall, wherever you'd like, and the textures, the layers, and the strokes, and the intentions. You can tell a whole story with one static image. You can use words, compiling them, ordering them together into an actual story, an actual narrative. And I think good authors, whether they specialize in fiction or nonfiction, people like Stephen King or Maya Angelou, they often tell the truth more than any kind of historical accounting can. We tell stories through poetry. It's a smaller sampling of words, but when placed the right way, a whole world can live inside three words in one stanza. We tell stories through acting, through the movement of our bodies and the projection of our voices. I hope that if you've never had the chance to see the Gospel of Mark come alive from our own Jeff Favorite, you would know what it's like to tell a story with a body and a voice. You only need to look at the sheer amount of money that films bring in to understand how that kind of storytelling resonates with the world. You can travel to different planets, different universes, and films are immersive, and they bring us into their storytelling in ways other mediums can't. We tell stories through music, and whether or not there are lyrics, the music penetrates us, and it takes us to what sometimes feels like another plane of existence. Through all of the different ways that we tell stories, through all of the ways I didn't mention, something really fascinating happens. Through the power of story, of storytelling, we're given the opportunity to reflect on ourselves, on the world, on God, on horror, on joy, on trauma and suffering, on love. We reflect on a whole mess of things. And in some really beautiful way, the world can come into sharper focus. We're given the opportunity to interpret our experiences and our world through the raw power of story. In storytelling, it helps us make sense of things. It can help us make sense of loss when we memorialize people. It can help us make sense of the world when we need to process our thoughts and our feelings and our emotions, and things crystallize. Stories can give us hope when we have none. They can awaken things within us that we never knew existed. And this will come as a serious shock to you. I love stories and storytelling because I leave them learning something new, experiencing something different, because they're powerful and they have a way to get inside of our hearts in ways a simple presentation of naked facts can't. And think about our scripture. 66 books, give or take, depending on your perspective. It's a collection of stories, stories that may or may not have happened in history, but that doesn't even matter because they teach us something. They help us to make sense of God, the world, and our place within this grand story. And then you dig a little deeper in that book and you come to Jesus, who was a storyteller par excellence. Right? He was a man who seemingly had a parable for anything and everything under the sun. His parables were sometimes soft and hopeful, sometimes harsh, brimming over with challenge and confrontation. But he told stories because they helped his followers, who seemed to be pretty dense, to help them make sense of what was happening in the world around them in that unfolding reign of God that he inaugurated. So we come to the story from today. The story about a good Samaritan. You know, it wasn't a story meant to condemn anybody, I don't think. He wasn't telling a story to condemn all Levites and priests for for which I am grateful, although I probably do need to stand under condemnation from time to time. He didn't tell the story to condemn wholesale those who might engage in highway robbery. He told the story because he was trying to convey to the lawyer that the love that he kept going on about, the love that he made incarnate, made real, it was love of a different magnitude and order. It was love that challenged the old, tired notions of who we really should consider to be our neighbor. And we told this story to let the lawyer, and really anybody who might have been listening, know that there was a truer, more righteous way to see the world than one divided by assumptions about who was capable of living justly and acting mercifully. So on the surface, he was telling a pretty simple story about an injured man getting bound up and healed by a neighbor. But the hero of the story was not somebody that pious Jews would have expected. Jesus took this very simple story and subverted long-held ideas of who was the most faithful and godly. You know this, right? Samaritans were outcasts. They were the ones that worshipped on a different mountain, who interpreted the law differently, meaning incorrectly, whose very constitution was somehow wrong. They were the other. They were the outsider. And Jesus placed this type of person firmly in the middle of the story because he was trying to teach the lawyer that in this new reign, divine truth might actually be modeled most faithfully by people that we might never, ever expect to become our teachers. Jesus took this simple thing, this parable. He used words to weave a tapestry of images and smells, of thoughts and feelings, to evoke change within the people who listened. And that's the power of a really good story, well told. It can change the ones who hear it. You know, I mentioned in the beginning the ways in which we tell stories: words, painting, music, sculpting. I didn't mention how we tell stories by how we live now, in the present, through the ordinariness of our daily lives. You know, I actually don't think that there is a more honest kind of storytelling than the stories we tell with our lives. I think that perhaps is the most honest kind of storytelling. Not the stories of our past, which anytime we recollect things in memory, it's already conditioned. I'm talking about the story of our present, of the choices that we make as we are moving through history. You don't actually need to be a storyteller to be a storyteller, because your life is a story being told on its own. Which then makes me think about my own self. What kind of story am I telling with my life? Through the way that I live and the choices that I make and the words that I say and the things that I do and perhaps especially the things that I buy, what kind of story am I telling to those who might be looking in or looking at me and wondering, what is this guy all about? And whether you like it or not, the same goes for you. What kind of story are you telling with your life? How are you spending your days, your moments? Are you telling a story full of grace? A story so overflowing with the grace that you've received from Jesus Christ that people around you stand and wonder, what does this person have that I don't? Is your life telling a story of judgment? With words and actions that they don't open others up to the love of God. They actually shut them out and they walk away from you saying, I don't want what they have. Is your story telling the kind of story that Jesus told? Is the story of your life challenging social norms that vilify others? that challenges the insidious notion that loving God and loving our neighbor can be reduced to a formula for rapid and easy success. God, that'd be so awesome if that was true. But that'd also be a really boring story. Is the story of your life consistent with the story of the Good Samaritan? Is it consistent with the whole story of Jesus himself? I mean, that's the question for us. Is the story that we are telling with our lives a Jesus kind of story? I mean, and setting aside all the dogmatic and doctrinal questions about Jesus, do people look at you and see the man from Nazareth who turned the world upside down? Or at least a faint glimmer of that reflection? Yeah, maybe you're at the point in your life that you're realizing that you don't like the story that your life is telling. I've been there several times before, and I plan on being there several times again. I legit have a shirt that says Existential Crisis Club, Lifetime Member. We've all been there. But thank God that we live and move and have our being within an economy of grace, because it's never too late to change our story. Right? As long as we have breath in our lungs, we can change the story of our life. Even if it's sort of a third act reveal at the very end, we can still change the way we're living. As long as we are still breathing, there's hope for us. In fact, as long as we're still breathing, there's hope for the world. Because it's the story of Jesus that gives meaning to our lives and shapes our community, which then strengthens us to go out from that story and the power of who Jesus was and is and what he's doing that allows us to move into the community. Hopefully, the story of our church is one that people want to get behind and join in. And stories, they help us imagine that another world is possible. The story of the Good Samaritan helps us to imagine a world in which kindness and goodness come from surprising places. I wonder what possibilities the story of your life is helping people to imagine. I would love to know what possibilities people imagine when they look at my life. So even if you don't think you're a storyteller, it's tough. Because your life is telling one anyway. And someday, hopefully, that day being a long way off, people are going to tell stories about you after you're dead. And this is the moment to ask yourself, what kind of stories do you want them to tell about you? Amen.